Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Here's news. Five former heads of state and former Nixon, Carter, and Reagan officials are calling the war on drugs a total failure. The Global Commission on Drug Policy issued a report this month calling for treatment over imprisonment, decriminalization, legal regulation of drugs, and harm reduction. We will find out why they think anti-drug policies have failed and what their recommendations would actually mean. Joining me right now is one of those former heads of state sitting on this commission, Cesar Gaviria, who served as president of Colombia, the nation of Colombia, from 1990 to 94. President Gaviria, welcome to WNYC.
Oh, thank you for this opportunity to talk about drug policy.
Also joining me is Ethan Nadelman, founder and director of the Drug Policy Alliance, an organization that crusades for marijuana legalization and an end to the war on drugs as we've known it. Ethan Nadelman, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
President Gaviria, why has the Global Commission on Drug Policy called the war on drugs a failure?
Well, it had been 40 years of the war on the war of drugs that was declared by President Nixon. And really, the results are very disappointing. And the increase in spending in this war is showing no improvement at all. What the world needs at this moment and the U.S. is to look at the problem of consumption of drugs as a sickness, as a problem of health, and not as a criminal activity. The U.S. has been using prohibitionism in the last 4 years. It has more than 500,000 users. I'm not talking about narcotraffickers. I'm talking about users in jail. It spends $40 billion a year in that policy. It's not using enough money in information and prevention. And the problem of using of marijuana is totally out of hand of almost every state and the federal government. So I think it's time that the U.S. at least look at Europe that has been handling this in a much more intelligent way. They use the word harm, less harm for society. And really, I think that is a much better approach.
Less harm, what people in the field call harm reduction. And Ethan Nadelman, when President Gaviria talks about Europe handling it in a different way, I guess everybody still agrees that the use of many illegal drugs poses a major public health problem in countries across the globe. But the approach to dealing with that problem is different? Is that really what we're talking about here?
Well, that's right. I mean, the Europeans rely much more. They elevate the health element of this as opposed to the criminal element. If they're going to have a drug czar, it's more likely to be somebody with a health background than what we have in the United States, which is somebody who's a former police chief or military general or a professional moralist. Now, I mean, right, if you look at the examples in Europe, you have, for example, the Portuguese, which decriminalized all drug possession 10 years ago, and where people who are arrested in possession of drugs are not put into the criminal justice system. They're instead diverted to non-criminal justice agencies that try to help them deal with their drug use and provide services. You look at Switzerland and other countries, Germany, which are now pushing the envelope in terms of dealing with heroin addiction and saying that for people for whom 12 steps and drug-free programs and methadone maintenance have not worked, let's allow them to come to clinics and get pharmaceutical heroin. And those have turned out to be enormously productive and useful in saving lives, reducing disease, saving taxpayers money. You look at what the Dutch have done with respect to cannabis, marijuana, and they set up the coffee shop system and they've gone back and forth about tightening up or opening it, but by and large they've said we're better off legally regulating at least the retail side of this instead of keeping it in the hands of the criminals, which is what we do in the U.S.
But, Ethan, isn't drug use way down in the United States since Nixon initiated that phrase, war on drugs, 40 years ago? I mean, we could say that this has been a failure because there's still a lot of widespread use. That doesn't answer the question, compared to what? Compared to if we hadn't done this, is this a lot less? For example, let me give you one example, because Jimmy Carter had a New York Times op-ed calling for an end to the war on drugs following this report, which he endorsed. But Peter Bensinger, who served as the administrator of the Drug Enforcement Administration in the Ford and Carter administrations, responded that the drug penalties have succeeded. He says drug use is down. 11% of Americans used illegal drugs in 1979. By 2009, that number was down to just 7%. So maybe these recommendations would make drugs easier to get and therefore increase harm.
Yeah. No, and the problem here, Brian, is that Bensinger and others are looking at exactly the wrong bottom line. And so just to 1980, right, at the end of the Jimmy Carter years, was the year when more Americans were using illegal drugs than ever before. 40 million Americans said that they had used, especially marijuana or cocaine, in 1980. And by 1990, that number had dropped to roughly 20 million, right? And it's more or less hovered around the 20 to 30 million since then. So people describe, the drug warriors will say, well, look, the 1980s were a great success, because the number of Americans who admitted to using an illegal drug dropped from 40 million to 20 million. Now, I'll say, look back at those numbers. First of all, most of the people using drugs in 1980 were, you know, people smoking marijuana or yuppies doing cocaine, most of whom did not have a problem. Keep this in mind. In 1980, nobody had heard of crack cocaine, but by 1990, it was a national epidemic. 1980, nobody had heard of drug-related HIV or AIDS, but by 1990, a quarter million Americans were dead or dying because of drug-related AIDS. 1980, there were 50,000 people locked up on drug charges in America. 1990, there were 250,000 on the way to 500,000. 1980, the government taxpayers were spending a couple billion dollars a year on the drug war. By 1990, it was 20 billion. It's now like something like 50 billion. So quite frankly, if Peter Bensinger and people want to focus only on how many Americans smoked a joint or how many yuppies took cocaine, well, then they can say the drug war has been a success. Yeah. But if you focus on any of the real criteria, the fact that there's four times as many people dying of overdoses today as was true back then, if you focus on the spread of HIV, if you focus on $50 billion a year down the drain on incarceration, if you look at the disaster in Mexico and Latin America and around the world because of this failed drug war, then those guys are out of their mind.
Well, let's turn back to President Gaviria and talk more about Latin America. If you're just joining us, we just heard the voice of Ethan Nadelman, founder and director of the Drug Policy Alliance, an organization that crusades for marijuana legalization and an end to the war on drugs as we have known it. We also have with us former president of Colombia from 1990 to 1994, Cesar Gaviria, as the Global Commission on Drug Policy is out with a report calling for treatment over imprisonment, decriminalization, legal regulation of drugs, and harm reduction as an approach in general rather than a war on drugs approach. President Gaviria was on the commission. And Mr. President, in the 90s, when you were the head of state in Colombia, I gather you took on the Cali cartel, the famous drug cartel. Do you regret that now? Would you not have your country do that again under similar situations? That's considered a war on drugs.
No. I am not. I don't repent of doing that. Cartels have become so powerful in Colombia that we have really a military threat, we had our institutions in danger, and we have no alternative but to fight. It's a very similar case to Mexico today. The cartels became so powerful that the government of Mexico, President Calderon, had to declare this type of war. But one thing is fighting the cartels, and another very different thing is fighting consumers. I mean, that's what makes no sense. We are not talking about the war on drugs. We are not asking for softening the fighting the narco dealers. Of course, one thing we should have in mind that first we have to be aware that it's not enough to decriminalize. You need to help people. As some countries of Europe do, it's better giving morphine to people that are productive but can work instead of putting them in jail. You have to help people because otherwise they may become criminals, and that is the wrong approach of the U.S.
And what do you do at the same time? And you mentioned Mexico, and a former president of Mexico, Ernesto Zedillo, I see, is also on the commission. I'm you know, tell me if he voted the same way as you. But with this massively violent drug war going on along the U.S.-Mexico border, with the drug gangs having so much power in that part of Mexico, is a military approach necessary at the same time as the public health approach is trying to tampen down demand?
You know, the military approach at the beginning is probably what was needed. But you need also a good system of justice just to confront the problem, as Colombia has been doing it. And you need, as an objective, to reduce consumption and to reduce the size of the business. If you don't get that, you will get all that violence in Colombia and Central America and Mexico. And that's what we need to be aware of, that the authorities in the U.S. cannot keep measuring success about how many people they put in jail, about how much amounts of drugs they seize, because that is totally unuseful for us. It's only a proof that things are getting worse and not better.
So, Ethan Nadelman, if part of the argument, as President Gaviria is making, is that the illicit nature of the industry makes it more violent, is there any evidence that legalizing, let's say, marijuana now, after it being illegal for so long, would actually curb the violence? Or let's say if it's just decriminalization, where it's still technically a black market drug, not an overt liquor store model, why wouldn't it lead to a greater fight over market share? Why wouldn't the cartels react violently to legalization, to decriminalization?
Well, you're asking a set of different questions, friends, Ryan. But basically, the first thing is that to the extent that we implement creative policies to reduce the demand for drugs, for example, by setting up programs as they have in Europe to allow people who are addicted to illegal heroin to get their drug instead from a legal source, that will diminish the market for the illegal drugs. And that's not about legalization. That's not about putting drugs into 7-Elevens or selling them like alcohol or cigarettes, right? That's a different type of approach. But I think more broadly, the commission did say that they wanted to encourage experimentation by governments with models of legal regulation of drugs to undermine the power of organized crime and safeguard the health and security of their citizens. And they said this recommendation applies especially to cannabis. So there was something of a consensus within the commission that at least there need to be experiments in legal regulation. I know that a growing number of Latin American leaders were, even as they publicly were being critical of the marijuana legalization initiative in California last year, were privately being much more supportive and feeling that that's the way to move forward. There's no question that if you take a commodity which is used by tens of millions of people, maybe hundreds of millions of people around the world, that provides black market revenue that amounts to many, many tens of billions of dollars a year, and if you instead choose to tax, control, and regulate it, then that will remove a major source of capital and power for criminal organizations.
And you're just saying marijuana in that respect, right? You don't legalize, regulate, and tax cocaine or heroin or...
Well, what the commission said was at least we should be able to break the taboo and to have informed conversations about this. The notion that that any form of legal regulation should be off the table is something that's unacceptable. You know, these prohibition laws were adopted early in this century. We did not have drug prohibition laws in the late 19th century, and somehow we survived and flourished as a society. So nobody's quite comfortable saying let's legalize everything. Nobody's saying let's treat heroin or cocaine like alcohol and cigarettes, but people are saying we need to be willing to have informed discussion and to allow localities to experiment with different models of taking the money out of the hands of criminals and trying to more efficiently and effectively regulate these markets.
And President Gaviria, before you go, this commission report is out and making news, but President Obama has also acknowledged the futility of the war on drugs when put that way. So I wonder what exactly you would like to see President Obama do in terms of U.S. policy, and since you were president of Colombia, in terms of U.S. policy toward that region.
Yes, I mean, to change policy. I mean, the war on drugs is not an expression that President Obama likes. Through the campaign, he always dismissed that expression as something useful for policy. Because it's a prohibitionism. It's a very simple policy for a very complex problem. And when Ethan talk about experimentation, he is saying what is the truth. This is not the policy has to be based on science, has to be based in research, has to be based in good polls, has to be approached as a health policy.
And
President Obama should move resources from the prison system, the judicial system, the law enforcement, to the health system, to treatment, to education, to... That is the real change of policy.
And then
you need to change legislation. Probably regulation,
yes,
is a word more better than legalization. But what people understand is legalization. That is exactly the opposite to the prohibitionism. But one thing we believe, drugs are harmful. But nobody is saying that drugs are not harmful, are very harmful. But it's how to deal in an effective way.
Right.
With the consumption of drugs.
But then what about the responsibility of your successors, the heads of state in Latin America right now, where the U.S. complains that crop transformation programs haven't been very successful or haven't been aggressively pursued? And I could understand the problem if there are many poor countries in Latin America, and some of them are deriving income for poor rural people through the growing of drugs and exporting them to the United States where there's tremendous demand. Well, that might not be the first problem that President of Colombia today or some other country wants to deal with.
But the presidents of Latin America need to approach the problem of consumption in the same way we are talking about. Latin America doesn't have the resources for prohibitionism and shouldn't do that. We don't have the resources. But out of that, local consumption of drugs is a big source of violence in Latin America. The most clear case is Brazil. The homicide rate has been increasing very significantly just because of local consumption.
Yes.
It's not only the U.S. that has to change policy. It's all countries that have to change policy.
Cesar Gaviria, who served as president of Colombia from 1990 to 94, and Ethan Nadelman, founder and director of the Drug Policy Alliance, both speaking for the Global Commission on Drug Policy, which issued a report this month calling for treatment over imprisonment and generally calling the war on drugs, as it has been fought and named, a total failure. Thank you both very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you to you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up next. How we are working harder in Speed It Up Lives. And then we will get our final Supreme Court analysis for this term. We've been covering the Supreme Court a lot recently with all these decisions coming down, as many of you regular listeners know. Today, among other decisions, the Supreme Court said that states may not ban the sale of violent video games to minors. We'll break that down too. Stay with us.